Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Sports are back. Joy and I basically just go home and eat grilled cheese sandwiches and watch NBA games and baseball games. Sanctuary is what a home should be now more than ever. Go to Lowe's.com. I'm building a bar cart. Get inspired. Hashtag Lowe's goals. Watched. And now, you know, I've said, Joy and I basically thank God for Brady getting traded to Tampa, because in March, as you know, we had the shutdown. And as a sports host, we need games. So for the first month after that, Brady getting traded to Tampa was our story from a zillion angles. And then the draft saved us. And now we're very, very fortunate we're back, and we've got NBA stuff and baseball stuff and UFC fights and some NASCAR golf this weekend. There's a major, a golf major, which I'm crossing my fingers, Tiger, and plays really, really well. And now we got football camp. And this is, to me, now we don't have preseason, but we have camp. I am so into this Brady thing. And the guy that broke the story, I used to work in Tampa. Rick Stroud's a great NFL reporter. He broke the story about Brady working out a month before the helicopter video. So this is why I've said this is a Super Bowl roster. This is not a rebuild. They were really good. They were very predictably to start last year. They were 2-6 first eight because they had a new coach, a young roster, and a new defensive coordinator. In their last eight, they were 5-3, and they were a tough out. And what they needed was more efficiency at quarterback, a right tackle, and more running backs. Check, check, check. And Rick Stroud is now joining us for the Tampa Bay Times. Great reporter. So let's just start with this. Physical appearance. You've been covering this league since the Trent Dilfer Buccaneers. Physical appearance. How does Tom look, Rick?
He looks great, Colin. I mean, you know, he's eating all the avocado ice cream, I guess. But I think the move has suited well with him. He's been up working out with guys at 7 o'clock in the morning every morning, and he continues to do that even now that they're in strength and conditioning. But Tom Brady didn't move here for the weather, so Giselle could be near the water. I mean, he's here because of the weapons he has around him, and he wants to win. I think those are the biggest things that he has in Tampa for him.
To construct a really good picture of Tampa, you have to go back, in my opinion, to last year, what they were. So you covered them. Go to the last eight games of last year, because they had a new coach and a new DC. So it's unfair to September, October is unfair. Let's start in November. Tell the audience what this team did really well and still struggled with the last half of last year, Rick.
Well, what they did well was play defense. I mean, I think if you go back and look the last half of the year, they were one of the top teams, particularly taking the football away. Vita Vea became a real big player. You know, Devin White was injured the first part of the year. He was player rookie of the month the last 2 months of the season and started making plays all over the place. Those young corners particularly grew up. You know, guys like Jamel Dean and Sean Murphy Bunting were really balling out, and I think Todd Bowles had them going. The problem was, what they didn't do well, of course, was protect the football. I mean, Jameis Winston threw 30 interceptions, and they gave up 120 points off those turnovers alone, Colin. And you just can't win. They were 7-7, and Jameis had a big game in Detroit. I thought maybe he was going to be back this year, but then he essentially threw the last two games away. They missed some kicks as well. But that's when Bruce Arians realized that he couldn't go forward with his quarterback. He knew there was a guy named Tom Brady that might be a free agent, so they started their little Operation Shoeless Joe Jackson, they called it. And if you build it, he will come. And they've built enough for him to come, so that's why he's here.
Tell me your reporting. Did Tom recruit them, or did they recruit Tom? Like, what was the initial connection on this?
Well, I mean, I think we'll have to probably wait until the history books are written on that one. But I think we'd all be naive to think that, you know people in the organization, you know people close to Tom Brady. He must have looked at this situation. He said that, he was realizing this would be his last year in New England in 2019. Jason Light is here. Of course, he was in New England when they drafted him. So there are some connections. And, officially, when they called his agent, he said, "We're glad you called. You made the right decision," so on and so forth. And it didn't take very long. Brady was sort of recruiting them on the idea. So, you know, what the real story is, again, we may have to wait, but I think these guys have been sort of eyeing each other for a little bit.
So I've even noticed it with the social media stuff, is that, and this was one of my concerns, is that Boston is an intellectual, intense sports hub, politics, academic. Yeah. It's very intense. Tampa yeah. is very laid back. And I've always believed teams become their cities. And I said, I know Brady can turn the governor down 10%, but can Tampa handle Tom's obsessiveness and intensity? So talk about that, because I've even watched the Buccaneers' social media accounts. They're funnier, they're quicker, they're on it, they're productive, and I'm like, that feels like a Tom influence.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think, you know, this has been an organization that's been looking for a quarterback forever, right? And they've had some that just didn't win while they were here. I mean, the Steve Youngs and the Doug Williams and so forth. Even Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. But there's never been anybody like Tom Brady, clearly. And so he is the culture, Colin. I mean, whether it's him or Peyton Manning, who Bruce Arians coached, I think when a guy like that walks into the building, he gets everybody's attention. And like I said, these workouts at Berkeley Prep were all his idea. He was not going to let a pandemic, even when the AFLPA told him to stop, he wouldn't stop. And those guys kept showing up. And, you know, before long, he had the defense out there at times. So I think, you know, Brady's intensity will work in any club, in any locker room, in any town. But you're right. I think there is this sort of laid back aura, certainly to the Bucs, and they haven't won in 12 years. They haven't been in the playoffs. He changes all of that when he walks in the building, and we've seen it even before he walked in the building.
So it's interesting, when Brady was doing all that workout stuff, nobody was wearing masks and, you know, they weren't sequestered. So Bruce Arians has been, you know, you don't have a bubble like the NBA or the MLS. You don't. Do they, you know, Brady's going to have 10 times the media there. You know, it's everybody wants a piece of him. It's not going to be the most COVID-friendly environment. Like, is Bruce Arians aware there's just going to be people glomming on this franchise this year in the middle of a pandemic?
Well, I mean, look, they're going to have to take care of each other. There's no doubt about that. And to that extent, I know New Orleans has, you know, secured some floors at a hotel. The Bucs have done the same thing for players that want to go there. But their first talk as a team was just about that. You know, if one guy steps out of line, he can screw up the whole thing. And it's hard to impart that on a 23-year-old that's got time and money for the first time. But again, that's where Tom Brady comes in. And, you know, Bruce Arians is probably one of the most susceptible coaches in the National Football League to this thing. He's taken a lot of precautions. He's a three-time cancer survivor. He's 67 years old. But they're doing everything they can possibly do as a team while they're together to try to make sure that, you know, that they're not out, that they're not breaking protocols. I don't know what else you can ask of them, but, you know, we'll just have to see how it goes. I have my doubts about the NFL season and whether they'll have it interrupted or not, but it certainly looks like it's going to start on time to me.
Give me the Gronk. You know, it's funny. I would say the Bucs have the best wide receiver grouping in the league and maybe the best tight end grouping. O.J. Howard hasn't been super productive, but he's super talented. So they bring in Gronk. Is Gronk just going to be a figurehead, you know, red zone blocking tight end? What do you think Gronk's role is here?
I think Gronk will play until he drops. I think he'll play as long as he thinks he can go. Now, you know, there might be some wisdom in trying to manage that workload, right, because his body feels good again. This is a guy that had a lot of injuries, right? But Tom Brady really didn't have chemistry or know anybody on this football team. So he helped orchestrate that trade for Rob Gronkowski. So at the end of the day, that's his safety valve, right? That's the guy he knows. And Gronkowski's going to have a huge impact on a guy like O.J. Howard, who's talented as hell but doesn't have a lot of instincts, you know, struggles trying to read the rotation of defenses and things like that at the snap. They do have a big tight end room, though, when you add him and Cameron Brate, even Anthony Auclair is a good blocker. But I think Gronkowski, I think you see a lot of two tight end formations, really, Colin. The 12 personnel that they used in New England with Aaron Hernandez and him. It wouldn't surprise me if those, you know, guys with Mike Evans and Godwin are on the field a lot.
privately, Rick, under their breath, they don't want it to make the Tampa Bay Times, but do the people in the building believe this is a Super Bowl level team if healthy?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, again, you've said this and you're exactly right. I mean, this is a team that was 7-7 a year ago, despite all those turnovers. The defense grew up. They brought guys back, you know, in terms of Ndamukong Suh and Jason Pierre-Paul and all of them. So I really think that they believe they're a Super Bowl contender. Now, they got to beat the New Orleans Saints, who won this division 3 years in a row, and they got a 41-year-old quarterback. There's a lot of words back and forth, but you don't get Tom Brady at any age, 43 or otherwise, unless you think you can win a Super Bowl. He thinks they can win. They have every reason to believe that they got the quarterback that knows how to get them there. And so, yeah, I would definitely say that they're a contender.
Rick Stroud, Bucks reporter, Tampa Bay Times has a podcast too, Sports Day Tampa Bay podcast. Rick, it's great seeing you. And say hi to my friends. We just had Kevin O'Donnell on not long ago. And if you go golfing with Dave Wirth, say hi to him as well, man. All right, Rick.
We'll do a great thing, Colin. Thanks.
All right, Rick Stroud, Bucks reporter. I was a young Cub reporter back
then.
How
old were you when you were in Tampa?
Let's see. Let me think about that for a second. 20s. I was in my 20s. I was a dogged reporter. I did. I was the weekend.
And you were a legit reporter.
Well, I was a weekend sportscaster, so I anchored on the weekends. And during the week, I broke countless stories of record. Maybe none. But you want to know a funny story about that? So I grew up in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
And then I worked. I'd never been in humidity in my life. So I had not. I'd done a lot of travel, but I'd never. And I'd been to Miami or I think maybe visiting or something. But I hadn't spent any time in Florida. So I do my first live shot. So when you live in Tampa, it's in the Gulf of Mexico, right? So Orlando's in the middle. Miami's on the Atlantic, and the Gulf is really humid. So every day as I'm doing Bucks camp was one of my first jobs.
Yeah.
You get these 5 o'clock lightning storms. Mm-hmm. Like every day.
Yes.
Like
it rains every day.
And a lightning storm every day. So I go out where a big mistake. So I go out and I'm wearing a blue shirt with no undershirt under it. And I'm doing a live shot. And I look like Albert Brooks in Broadcast News. I'm pouring sweat. Gigantic sweat things under my arms. And I come back. Daniel Webster was the news director. How did I do? He's like, never wear a blue shirt on the air. You wear white shirts in Tampa.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm a Seattle kid with a British mother. We don't do 98 degrees in humidity. I've never even been in weather like this.
I had to work Dolphins training camp every year doing radio. And they put these massive fans out there, but the fans just move the hot air around your face.
Like, you can't explain
ultimate
like
humidity.
In California it does get warm but the further you go east in LA it's the desert,
right? So it's dry heat.
If you've never been in August in Florida,
there's nothing like it. And I would always be like, I felt unprofessional wearing like shorts or like a dress to training camp, but you absolutely have to. It's so brutal.
Your hair just unravels. It gets very,
it's actually why I knew I was 100% cut out for studio work, because I got an assignment to go to Dolphins training camp and get the sound bites for the day. So, you know, they send me out. I'm in my early 20s also, and like I'm at training camp and I go in the media scrum, which is not going to happen anymore because of COVID. And I'm like holding my recorder. Who was it? I think it might have been like Cameron Wake. And one of the other reporters, sweat from his chin dripped onto my arm as I'm holding, and I have to let it go because I've got to get the sound bite, right? And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm a
Seacrest
studio.
Out.
It's a
Seacrest
for me.
Out. Yeah, studio's
I
much.
I can't do this.
The studio's 72 degrees.
It's not for me.
By the way, guys, you're getting older. Feel younger. MDrive for men.com. Start your day with MDrive. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Oh, God, that must have been totally disgusting.
It was absolutely
as old
disgusting
man as sweat
it sounds,
on your arm.
Yes, yeah. And when you're local, you know everybody, too. So it's like, all right. So before the NFL and the Players Association agreed on safety protocols for the 2020 season, Odell said that he didn't think that football should be played this year. But despite those initial concerns, he decided not to opt out this season. And GM Andrew Berry is very confident that Odell is locked in for 2020.
Having a player of Odell's stature on the roster, obviously he generates a lot of attention. And, you know, Odell's very mindful that, you know, he has to be conscientious with, with his words. Now, that being said, that, we've had plenty of dialogue and conversation, with Odell. He's returned and really been focused on working hard. He's been very engaged in, everything that we've done in the classroom. And, he's really focused on having a great year.
Yeah, so Odell's conversation with the Wall Street Journal kind of went that a little viral, but it was before everyone had agreed to the new protocols.
I didn't like that by the Wall Street Journal, which is owned by the Murdochs, so I'll tread lightly here. But they had interviewed him a month ago, and he said, I don't know if we're going to have a season. And then they ran it weeks later when he had already said, yeah, we got the protocols down. So it looked like Odell's like, I'm out. I didn't think it was very fair to Odell Beckham.
Yeah, it wasn't fair to him. But once you read when it was, when the interview happened, it made sense that this is not lining up. I don't think that Odell is out on the season. And from everything, all the conversations that we've had today and throughout the past couple weeks, it seems like the NFL has done an amazing job.
Hey,
like
I texted a player yesterday. He's like, it is buttoned up. Like they have figured out that they've really watched baseball.
Right.
They've watched baseball.
Which has been an advantage to the NFL throughout the whole pandemic that has happened during the off season for the most part. Everything that they've been able to do digitally.
Yeah.
And now they're going into camps, having baseball already come back, not in a bubble, seeing what the other leagues are doing in the bubble. Greg Popovich talked today about why the NBA bubbles work so far. He said it's a great example for our country. Our leader had a vision and it was organized and the participants, our citizens, had discipline. Everything that we're hearing from the NFL camps is that everyone is buying into what they're saying.
Yes.
People aren't pushing back. Now, obviously, it's a long season. There's a lot that can happen. And again, you shouldn't be striving for perfection, just progress and managing the situation. But if you buy into the safety protocols and realize that, one person stepping out of line can affect everybody, then, we'll be able to make it happen. Speaking of that, UConn announced that they will not be playing football in 2020. The school was expected to play as an independent this season. Some of the games have already been eliminated due to conference-only schedules, and they are the first FBS team to cancel the season due to the pandemic. Obviously, they're in kind of a unique situation because most of their games were traveled, and they got canceled because of the non-conference schedules. But the university said members of the football team will remain enrolled in classes, either virtually or in person. They'll have access to facilities and support services. And by foregoing the 2020 campaign, UConn's athletes retain their year of eligibility, which is really big for the student athletes, obviously, in a tough situation there with canceling the season.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Ivy League and UConn are out, but that's college basketball country more than football. If the SEC starts,
Yeah, it's nothing to panic about. There's going to be programs that don't participate, and they'll be back next year when everything is hopefully in a different circumstance. Look at the macro of the situation, how the leagues are handling it, how conferences are coming back, the protocols that they're putting in place, how they're handling things on a macro level, and not panic about the Marlins and UConn.
If you go to the bottom one or two or three teams in most conferences, they're not going to have fans. There's a major budget crisis for even in the SEC. If you went to their like a Vanderbilt, it's an academic power. Vanderbilt said, listen, we can't.
Is obviously a huge factor in this, but if you're talking about budgets and looking forward to the future, like we may have to cancel the entire program for the whole school or not play this year, you got to make that decision. Finally, thought you'd enjoy this. We talked a lot about haircuts today. Tom Brady turned 43 on Monday and poked some fun at himself to celebrate. He tweeted out a picture of the evolution of his hairstyles during his NFL career with the caption of all the haircuts throughout the years. My favorite one is the next one. Thank you all for your birthday wishes. I hadn't really given that much thought to Tom Brady's haircuts over the years.
I don't remember the Dynamo.
I don't remember the Dynamo either.
I remember.
That was maybe from, it looks like a Met Ball look.
He did the Timberlake for several years. That's our radio audience. He's got a picture of each one. The Caveman, where he looks a little scruffy, and then he had the Derby
the Caveman
special.
was not my favorite look for him, although I don't mind long hair and a beard.
I got to be honest with you, the Timberlake's probably what he should be wearing. Because he's too fastidious and detailed to be the Caveman. That's just not who he is.
I mean, that's not his personality. The Florida Man and the Rookie are kind of similar.
Yeah, just more wrinkles, I guess, yeah. Good, Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
The game
news
is called TB or Not TB. Tom Brady or not Tom Brady. What will and won't he accomplish this year? Best for last.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Do-it-yourself projects are fun, especially now. Many of us are kind of quarantined or hanging out at home more than we ever have. We don't get to go to our restaurants. Do a home project with Lowe's. Lowe's.com. Show us your projects. Put it together. Transformations? Show us. Hashtag Lowe's goals. Okay, so today's best for last is, you know, the old saying, to be or not to be. Wasn't that Shakespeare or something? This is TB or not TB. What will Tom Brady accomplish in his first year or not accomplish? Joy, here we go.
Tom Brady throws for 30-plus touchdown passes. To TB or not to be?
I think he'll start potentially slow, but it'll be TB.
Okay.
So he has averaged 31 in his career. Jameis threw 33 last year, and that doesn't count the 6 he threw to the other team. So this is not just a good receiving group. This is now the top tight end and receiving group. An upgrade on the offensive line and a better running back group. So, and LeSean McCoy can catch. He had 30 catches last year. He's just got a lot of available targets. He's got a lot of people, a lot of mouths to feed, and nobody sprinkles it around quite. And by the way, the targets are also big. Mike Evans is 6'6". Gronk is 6'6". He's got big O.J. Howard, big targets in the red zone.
And there's not a lot of feeling that there's, like, ego involved at this point. Yeah. Tom Brady throws for 4,000-plus yards, TB or not TB?
Okay, he's thrown TB. He's thrown for 4,000 yards in 8 of 9 years. I don't even know what he threw for last year, but Jameis threw for 5,100 yards last year. So Brady had 4,000 last year. Think about this. He had no tight end, really. They had no deep threat. Did Edelman play every game, or did he lead? He had more drops than he'd ever had. So he threw last year, and they had some offensive line issues and no fullback, so no running game. So he was often throwing third and long, and Brady got to 4,000 yards last year. This is the easiest one. He'll throw for over 4,000 yards.
Bucks will have a top three offense, TB or not TB?
This is an easy TB. First of all, they were number three last year, which is hard to believe, right? You're like, with all those interceptions, they've added Gronk, they've added Brady, they've upgraded the right tackle, they've added LeSean McCoy. Again, this is to construct an opinion on Tampa, you have to go back to last year. They were a really good team at the end of the year. They were just a turnover-prone mess offensively, but their defense was better. They haven't had good special teams in forever, so that to me is their biggest hang-up. In New England, they always had great special teams. Tampa's special teams historically are a mess. That's the fault with the team. It's not that, but they will have a top-three offense.
Bucks will make the playoffs, TB or not TB?
Well, that's a TB. Yeah, okay, so again, 7 teams now make the playoffs. 7, that's an extra team. So you can look at about 4 or 5 teams. We know, you know, Arizona's going to be a little over its skis in that division. We know that Carolina's kind of rebuilding. We know Washington is rebuilding. Joe Judge has never coached a game in the NFL. Of the 16 teams, I can take about 4 to 5 you'd talk yourself out of very quickly. And I do believe they have better personnel significantly on offense than Atlanta. So, yeah, this is a playoff team.
The Bucs will win the NFC South, TB or not TB?
That's a not TB. First of all, the Bucs are the Saints are favored. The Saints have won it 3 years in a row. And the Saints may be the best team in the NFC. When I say that, the Saints have a better O-line than the Bucs, and it's been together longer. And frankly, I think they have a better consistent pass rush than Tampa does. So if you give me a better O-line, D-line, and Sean Payton, and they also added Emmanuel Sanders, so they got plenty of firepower. They will not throw the ball down the field as well as Tampa, but they'll be incredibly efficient. And Tampa's defensive front's really good.
The Bucs will reach the Super Bowl, TB or not TB?
I'm going to say TB. Wild card teams can make it. Okay, so NFC, ask yourself this. The NFC's up for grabs. Who is significantly better? Green Bay? Not really.
San Francisco?
Absolutely. There's no question. But they also play in the toughest division in football, and it's very possible. Losers of Super Bowls often have a hangover a little. What if San Francisco wins 10 or 11, Tampa wins 12, New Orleans 13, and the game's in Tampa? Then it's interesting.
Tom Brady makes the Pro Bowl, TB or not TB?
No, that's not. There's just too many good quarterbacks. I mean, just think. There's Russell Wilson's going to make it. I mean, you can write that down. Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz. Dak's going to put up good numbers. Who else? Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford. There's just too much. Kirk Cousins, by the way, will put up good numbers. There's just too many good quarterbacks. He won't get that.
You're going all in with Tampa this year, huh?
I don't see, you know what it is? I think the two best teams in the NFL are arguably in the AFC.
Ravens and Chiefs.
Yes. And then I think San Francisco depends. Don't love their secondary. Let's see if Brandon Ayuk, the wide receiver from Arizona State, can play. They lost Emmanuel Sanders. Dante Pettis hasn't been what they thought. Let's see how their wide receiving core adapts, if Kittle can stay healthy, if Garoppolo takes another step. But I think the top of the AFC is really great. I think the NFC on Fox is way better. Is it as deep? It's NFC's deeper. Is it as good at top? I don't know. Like, I'll give you an example. I love Seattle. Their offensive line's a mess. Pro Football Focus ranks their defensive line as 32nd. Philadelphia, Carson Wentz stay healthy. A lot of new pieces on the perimeter offensively. There's everybody that's good, even San Francisco. Emmanuel Sanders leaves. George Kittle can get hurt. Can they stay healthy on the weapon side? That's like a real issue for them.
I think that they are a playoff team. I think it's a wild card situation.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can go from a wild card spot to the Super Bowl.
So The Athletic came out. That subscription, maybe time to cancel. So they ranked every NFL offense 1 to 32.
Right.
So they got one right, Kansas City, and they got 32 right, Washington. They call it Washington football team.
Yeah. Every other spot is wrong.
They have Tampa 11th. So they think Tennessee's offense is better than Tampa.
Well, yeah, I don't agree with that.
Like, does anybody in America? Oh, here's another gem. They have Cleveland's offense at 18th. You've got to be out of your mind. Baker drives me nuts. It's a top 12 offense. They're loaded. They got two of everything. Hold on. And then they have the Patriots right behind Cleveland at 23rd. They have quarterbacks splitting snaps. They have no deep receiver. Two rookie tight ends. Dante Scarnecchia retired. Athletic, get your act together. This list is bad.
Who's the top three?
Well, Kansas City, Baltimore, Saints, I got no argument.
Yeah, that's
and I would say they have Dallas 4. Dallas has good personnel. I got no problem with Dallas.
I would have Cleveland higher.
They have Seattle 5th offensively. What?
No.
They've got one of the worst offensive lines in football. This is not good. I'm going to have to rethink. You know, I'm a subscriber to the Wall Street Journal, the LA Times, the New York Times, Bloomberg, The Athletic. Yeah, I'm going to have to think about things after that.
Maybe make your own list.
There you go. We'll do that. Rick Stroud, Michael Rappaport, Tom Telesco, Charger GM, and Nick Wright. All good stuff. Join I'll see you tomorrow.